The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number two. 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Miss the first hour. A little sportsy. We'll keep it sportsy here at the top with the legend that is Lance Erline, who I did not hear on the air this morning, so I'm really...
He was on early.
I'm happy to hear Lance on now. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
We're doing well, Lance. How are you?
Doing good.
Lance, did you... I didn't get to talk to you about the fights. I didn't see you this morning. Anything surprise you about the UFC fights this weekend?
No, it's funny. My dad called me about my thoughts on it, and we were talking about it, like, you know, before it happened. And I told him DC was a small favorite. And I said, you know, he's at that age now where if you look at the two fighters where they are, and typically, historically, through boxing and through UFC, a lot of times you can tell when one guy's kind of headed on a downward trend and another guy's either staying level, plateauing, or even headed up. And so you kind of have to throw out their first two fights. And some, I mean, you don't throw them out, but you don't put too much into them. So I kind of liked Miocic in that one. And primarily less, look, he's a good fighter, but I just didn't think we'd see the same DC that we maybe saw 3 to 5 years ago. It's just, he's at an age where that's just not who he's going to be. And you know what? He also knew he's on the way out. Like, that was going to be his last fight. And so I always feel like that has a subconscious effect on a guy, not in a positive way necessarily. I think a lot of times it's almost like you're kind of resigned to whatever happens because you know this is it for you.
Yeah, if you know you're retiring, win or lose, it can put some sort of a weird mindset on you. I feel like,
yeah.
I don't disagree. Were you disappointed at Sean O'Malley's performance?
Well, I mean, you know, on that leg of his, no, I had a hard time getting too upset when he, you know, I mean, he had jacked up the leg and that was that. So that was, you know, I don't know what else you could do there. I'd like to see him run that one back at some point, but I don't know. I don't know if it'd be much different. I mean, I don't know if he would, if he'd come out on top. I know some people are really ticked off about how that one went down, but I mean, he just wasn't on solid footing.
Yeah, there were people mad at the stoppage. The dude's leg was literally, I mean, he had to be carried out on a stretcher.
Yeah.
And they're like, they shouldn't have stopped the fight.
What were people upset about exactly? He couldn't, what was he going to do? Was he going to win that fight?
Well, as someone who's blown out a leg in the middle of a fight and got punched in the face a lot, there is something to, it's almost a relief when the referee says, okay, you've been hit in the face enough. We're going to stop this thing. And I don't know what they think was going to happen. And I, like, in my mind, I remember when it happened to me, I was like, maybe if I could have started round two, but I was like, oh, what am I talking about? I couldn't have even stood up to have round two. Like, it wasn't an option. So I don't understand people being upset. But I mean, it was the guy was undefeated. He's a hot prospect. He's a guy that clearly there was a lot of money in Vegas on him. None of mine. Thank you. +245. But yeah, I think he's just one of those guys that people are hyped about. So they didn't want to see him lose like that.
Well, either that or it seemed like my Twitter timeline had a bunch of money on him to where they were kicked off.
Did you see what John Jones had to say today?
No, I saw he was already, you know, pining for a fight on the day of fight day. Did he have something? What did he say today?
Well, today John said he is giving up his light heavyweight title, and basically he's walking away from the UFC right now.
Meaning what? You know what? I'm so over John Jones's drama. Has there been anyone with more talent who had just more issues of some sort? What is it this time? What? I mean, honestly, what is it this time, John? Am I supposed to be upset about this? Here's the thing. This isn't Floyd Mayweather in his prime, where boxing doesn't have a lot of superstars. There's next up in the UFC. There's a bunch of divisions, and there's a bunch of next up. And John Jones, we've already had to live through the greatness of Bones, and then the drugs, and then the comeback, and then the PED test, and then drugs again. And I'm just kind of over it with John Jones, to be honest with you. I love watching him fight. If he don't want to fight, if it's not, if he's upset contractually, if it's drugs, I'm at the point where I'm just over it.
Well, I think this is money. And John is like, he's like, you know, if I'm going to fight Francis Ngannou and these guys, these monsters at heavyweight, I want some more money. And sounds like the UFC wasn't willing to negotiate with him. So he's just like, all right, well, I'll just be done fighting then, which is disappointing because he's the best fighter in the world. But we've seen this time and again with Dana and the UFC. Like they feel like nobody's bigger than the brand. Nobody's going to they're just not going to break on this pay scale where they keep 90% of the money and they divvy up the other 10% between the actual guys shedding the blood out there. And until they do, I think you're going to see a lot of guys, you know, who get in these positions, stop fighting. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Conor McGregor fighting again, and he makes a massive amount of money relative to these other guys.
Yeah. And did we ever hear what Gamebred's contract was?
Oh, they budged and gave him a bunch of money because they had to.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Because when they needed him to fill in on short notice for Gilbert Burns when he caught COVID, they needed exactly. somebody to fight Kamaru Usman. And after they'd already said, we're not giving you any more money, and then Burns test positive, and they're like, God damn it. All right, we'll give you the money. And so he got the money.
That's what I thought, because he was super happy.
Yeah.
I mean, he went from having issues to then – you know, there's contract issues to then he steps up for the fight, has all the leverage in the world, exerts that leverage. But I'll tell you something. I don't think Dana White ever wants to. There's probably a happy medium. You don't want it to ever get to the point that boxing was, but I don't see any reason there should be. Like I said, there's always a next up. So you do have some control from a standpoint of, what percentage of the gates and what percentage of the pay-per-view buys you're going to be given away and how that is doled out. It's better than it used to be. It's way better. I remember having a dinner with Tito Ortiz and Rico Rodriguez back in 2002 or 2003 at Trulux when they were here with Saul Solis and Rico was getting ready to fight Tim Sylvia. He was training for that. And they were all they talked about at dinner was how ticked off they were and how bad the UFC's pay scale was. Now they wanted to, go over to Pride and go fight in Pride at that particular time. So this has been an issue for a while. It's gotten a lot better for UFC fighters, but I don't think it's ever, because of the nature of the event, they have so many events and so many guys are coming up. I don't ever think they're going to have as much leverage as they think from a financial standpoint. And, Conor McGregor had the most, he and John Bones Jones have had the most that I've seen. I think that I can recall, other than this unusual Masvidal situation, but Conor also went and took a bazillion-dollar fight to fight Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match. So, he's kind of different. I mean, he's a brand outside of the UFC. He's kind of rare like that. I don't think John Jones is a brand outside of the UFC. That's why I don't think Dana wants to give in to him. I don't know that he turns the pay-per-view numbers. I might be wrong.
No, you're not wrong.
I don't feel like he turns the pay-per-view numbers quite like a guy like Conor McGregor would.
No, it's not even close, really.
That doesn't shock me. And, it's because, and I'm forgetting his name here, but the Brazilian who was the light heavyweight who was so good for all those years, or is he a middleweight? I think he's a middleweight.
Are you talking about Anderson Silva?
Yeah, Anderson Silva. Anderson was a smaller version of Bones Jones, and he was great for a long time without all the same commotion that John has caused with his off the – outside of the outside of the octagon stuff.
Yeah, I think sometimes people confuse the great fighters with the greatest draws, and you know, Conor McGregor is the greatest draw. And, you know, Brock Lesnar was a great draw. Ronda Rousey was a great draw. And that's why when those golden geese get killed, it's horrible for the UFC. You know, when Conor is getting smashed by Khabib, it's not ideal for the UFC. When Holly Holm head kicks Ronda Rousey, it ended up working out because, you know, they found a couple new chicks who seem pretty decent, but none of them are ever going to have the drawing power that Ronda Rousey did. So it was a devastating moment for the UFC. Yeah, I don't know that John Jones isn't that guy that just draws a bunch of people to, and a lot of it is because John Jones for the longest time didn't really have competitive fights, and it was hard to match him up with someone who you really thought could give him a fight.
Yeah, because he's just such an unusual fighter. But it is an interesting conundrum, because if you're a great fighter if you're in the division of a Ronda Rousey or a Conor McGregor or a John Jones or even a Brock Lesnar at that particular time, you really don't want them losing, because if you're in there, you know, the more robust the pay-per-view sales are, the better the chance is that you're going to get paid, especially if you end up fighting one of those guys. So, I mean, granted, your pay isn't going to be anywhere near theirs, but it's just overall a positive when you do have the name brand guys. That's why it was so devastating at this particular time when Chuck Liddell, you know, just wasn't the premier factor. I'll never forget being at the UFC, being in the crowd, and they were going bananas for Liddell Couture 1, and there was the Tap Out crew had a pre-fight video, and it was the most over the top thing that I had seen in a UFC event up to that point. And I'd gone to, that was like the fourth one I'd gone to. And he got just smoked with the old ground and pound, lay and pray, whatever you want to say. And I remember thinking, this is really bad for the UFC, because Liddell is so unbelievably sellable with the, you know, with the mohawk and kind of the street fighter vibe and the knockout punch. And here's a guy just grappling the piss out of him on the ground. This is a nightmare for the UFC. That's what it felt like to me at the time.
Yeah, no, it actually was. Let me ask you some football questions real quick. Gerald McCoy out for the Cowboys. It seems devastating to me for their defense, because there's nobody else who can do what he does for them.
Yeah, I mean, Dontari Poe is still in the middle, so we'll see what Poe can do. It wouldn't shock me. The Cowboys have added, you know, obviously Alvin Smith was one guy they ponied up for, and they're going to see what Alvin Smith has available. And, oh, they just signed somebody just the other day. Everson Griffin. So you've got a couple of guys that you've added to the rush along with DeMarcus Lawrence. But from an interior standpoint, it wouldn't shock me if the Cowboys went out and looked at some team, you know, maybe dealt a draft pick, a third-round pick for a team with some depth, a defensive tackle. Well, maybe third might be high. Maybe a fifth rounder for a guy that they think could be a plug-and-play, you know, average to slightly below-average starter. That wouldn't be shocking to me, because they've got they've got a chance to win at a high level right now, and they really can't afford to have a huge hole in the middle of that defense.
The Texans, Chiefs, 3.5 weeks from today. It's almost crazy. It doesn't feel like football season is about to start, because we're not having preseason games and things like that. What are the odds that September 10th there's going to be a football match played between the Texans and the Chiefs?
I'd say probably 85% to 90% yes. This has really been, and that might be low, this has really been up to this point a very, it's funny, because the media doesn't cover the positive stuff about the COVID. I mean, it's always going to be anytime you have an outbreak or anytime you have a cluster or anytime. But the fact is, the NFL has had very, very low numbers. They've done an exceptional job of testing, of keeping things clean. They had a plan. They stuck with it. And to the players' credit, the players have been very good about doing what they're supposed to do and not putting themselves in harm's way. And I think the fact that they're testing so frequently, they can catch it quickly and put a guy on a COVID list. So I think it's almost a lock that a game will be going down by then. Now, the question is going to be what happens if there's an outbreak on the team. But you know, I think they may take a cue from baseball in some regards. They may, and I think it also helps if you got a week in between games and you've got unlimited amount of, you know, you got a much bigger practice squad you can pull guys up from. You got a huge list of undrafted free agents you can throw on a practice squad. There's going to be bodies to play. I mean, you're going to have that. So I definitely think pro football, college football, it's going to be a little trickier. I'm already hearing that there's some SEC guys who are already talking about opting out now, and some name guys that are going to be a concern potentially. So I think college football is going to be markedly different, even if three Power Five conferences go. But the NFL, I think, is going to go on business as usual. And for the first time, today is the first time that I'm actually like, you know what? I better start paying attention to my fantasy football stuff, because I think a season's going for sure now.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench. I guess you guys are off. You're back tomorrow, but you're off Wednesday. Is that right?
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, and I'm back on Friday. John's going to be out Friday, so just Wednesday, Thursday. Jerry Bow and Josh will do the same great job they always do. Jerry Bow's been giving out some good soccer winners. I'm just going to let you know.
Hey, I guess John has to take these days off for a family emergency or medical procedure.
Yeah, there's a very. I think there is a. From what I understand, there's something going on with flop shots and long putting.
Uh huh.
And I think his extended family, like not even blood relation, but maybe have a jet.
Right.
There's some stuff that he may be flying to some different places just to, you know, check up on some things to make sure everything's okay with the pain.
To check on his relative's lawn.
To make sure that the tee boxes have been set up where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah, you never mow another man's lawn. So,
all right, Lance, we'll talk to you next week, bud.
All right, thanks, guys.
So, 832 says, I'm just a girl, but listen to you every day, and that guy sounds like he knows his stuff. Angel from Baytown.
I'm just a girl in the world. That's all let me be.
No such thing as just a girl. Come on.
Because I'm just a girl, pretty and petite. Right? Don't let me out of your sight. All right. I have got to tell you about Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, because I'm just a girl, pretty and petite. Don't let me have any rights. But Allstate Siding and Windows, a family-owned company, open for business, and they're doing things the right way. You know why they're open for business? They're staying open for business. You know why? Because they are taking extra precautions. They're making sure that they are safe. They're making sure that you are safe during consultations and installations. And you want the best quality siding windows? They've got it. Call today for a free consultation. Learn more about their summer special, 30% off all windows, $2,500 off all full siding jobs. You want the best rate? Call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. You're going to save money on your electric bills with these, and it's these windows, this siding, it's going to pay for itself. Check them out online, allstatesidingandwindows.com.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can jump on the Twitch, catch us in between on the breaks. The show continues, all not as much today because Mondays are like a lot of work days around here. Like, at least three meetings so far today, and AJ's got meetings all day, so it's sometimes you have to use the little break there to get caught up on some communications with people. So that's where we are. It's like what AJ was doing.
So, I was urinating.
Ah, Good for you.
Yeah.
Do you see that Mark Grace is in trouble?
It's so dumb.
Dumb that he did it or dumb that he's in trouble for it?
Dumb that he's in trouble for it.
Yeah. Okay, if you haven't seen...
You're not allowed to say your ex-wife was not a smart gal. Just, and then give an antidote about a time she wasn't a smart gal.
All he did was call her a dingbat. If that's going to get you in trouble, then yeah, I think it's time.
Is dingbat code for the C word?
No.
It's just dingbat still,
right? It just means
right? Dingbat.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
Unless there's something that has changed in the meaning that I don't know about, that I haven't been made aware of. But dingbat is not that offensive. It's not offensive at all, frankly. I mean, it sounds like she's a dingbat. But I guess if you're on a baseball broadcast, you can't say things like that. I don't get it. This is why I could never do that kind of job.
It's just, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get that that's somehow offensive. He's not talking about her glowingly because the story he's telling about her kind of proves his point that she wasn't the smartest chick.
Look, she was probably a baseball wife, which means she was hot.
I mean, he pretty much said it.
Yeah.
He said, I called her the dingbat. And that was basically his way of saying, she wasn't all that bright. And she turns out, after he tells the story, you go, oh, she wasn't all that bright. So it's kind of fitting. I've got no problem with it.
I don't either.
And from what I'm hearing, it's going to end up being... he's on a suspension now, but from what I'm understanding, he's not going to be back.
I think they don't want him back. I mean, you don't get rid of somebody over this unless you were already trying to get rid of him. If that's what gets you fired, please just never, ever, ever allow me to leave this station. Cause I mean, I've certainly called my exes worse than dingbats.
Yeah.
It's not even that offensive. In fact, it's a nice way of saying you're stupid, because it implies you're a little dingy and not just stupid. And dingy is a little eccentric, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost a compliment. Almost. Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN. Another story that I think this story is everybody has on their website that they just repost it every 6 months or so. Jeff Van Gundy, leading candidate to replace Mike D'Antoni if he's fired.
Okay. Let's just consider the personnel that the Rockets have. And let's say, do you think Jeff Van Gundy would succeed with this personnel?
When was the last time Jeff Van Gundy coached? Now, I know everybody loves Jeff Van Gundy. He's a great analyst. Everybody around here loves him. He's always really friendly to everybody. But when was the last time he coached?
It's been a long time. I'd have to look it up, but it's been years, obviously. I don't feel like, and this isn't me endorsing what they're doing. I don't feel like anybody can coach this team better the way it's constructed than Mike D'Antoni can. I feel like he's the guy who's, like, this roster is built for what he likes to do. Jeff Van Gundy last coached in 2007. That was 13 years ago.
Yeah, he now coaches the men's team for the FIBA, the World Cup.
Yeah. The last time he coached in the NBA was 2007.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't see him being much of a much of an upgrade, to be honest. But it's one of those things where people think, okay, well, who's a name? Give me a big name. And he's a big name. But I don't know that he's going to get anything more out of this than Mike D'Antoni's have been able to. And let's also remember, how many playoff series wins did he have in Houston? Do you remember? Because I can tell you.
I don't remember, no.
Zero. Zero playoff series wins in the four seasons he was here. Lost in the first round three times, missed the playoffs the other time. I mean, if you're like you're going back, if you're looking for the glory days of Jeff Van Gundy, it's when he was with the Knicks and he was going to the conference semifinals and he went to one NBA finals and that was the late 90s. I mean, you're going way, way back. I don't know what makes you think that suddenly that's going to be rejuvenated and you're gonna find a second golden age of Jeff Van Gundy. I don't know. The first golden age wasn't all that great.
No, it wasn't a golden age. It was an age.
Apparently people clamor for it.
I don't know. It's
why don't we talk about Rudy Tomjanovich coming back and coaching? Can we do that?
He's still alive.
Well, does that matter?
Not really. Oh, I mean, all you got to do is kind of sit there and stare.
Yeah.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776.
By the way, to get in. Rudy Tomjanovich last coached in 2005.
Ah.
So he's 2 years removed from the game longer than Jeff Van Gundy. So it's not that far off, really.
Nope. All right, tell the people about Boomer Naturals.
Oh, Boomer! Well, of course, I was in San Antonio. I was at Six Flags. You got to wear a mask. Guess what? Not only I was wearing, guess what my whole family was wearing? We're a Boomer Naturals family because we want a breathable mask, especially out there where it's super hot. It's not the most comfortable place to wear a mask, but you want one that's breathable. You want one that's comfortable. And you want one that's going to actually protect you. And Boomer Naturals has that nano silver woven into the fabric, blocks the tiny drops and particles from getting to your nose and mouth. And that's what you want. You want the best protection. And another great thing is they donate one face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, which helps out tens of thousands of Americans in need. We're talking about veterans groups, Native Americans who may not be able to have access to a mask otherwise. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code Hoffman. You'll save 20% on your order. That's promo code Hoffman at BoomerNaturals.com. Get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at BoomerNaturals.com.
I knew you were trouble when you walked in. So shame on me now. Blew me to places I've never been. Till you put me down.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Late hits, Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, up at 7 o'clock. Hall of Fame with Booker T and Brad Gilmore, 9 o'clock. We have a giveaway. How about this? Want to do it now?
Sure.
Let's do it now.
Let's do it.
Hey, Houston, it's time to return to theaters August 21st to see the new movie Unhinged, featuring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, directed by Derek Bort. This edge-of-your-seat thriller takes something we've all experienced, road rage, to an unpredictable and terrifying conclusion. At 5:37, we'll take caller 3 to 713-780-3776. You'll win a pair of tickets to see the film opening weekend, plus a $20 Visa gift cards for concession snacks. See it in theaters August 21st. Tickets are on sale now. Theaters are back. So, there you go. Why is my computer locked up here? This is not good. When did this happen?
I put a spell on you.
Did you see that... I guess Greenberg's new show launched today.
I think all the new shows launched today. The new morning show started. The new Mike Greenberg show started. So everybody started their new shows. I think Will Kane even started his new show over the weekend on Fox.
Yeah, I did not listen. I mean, I was listening to our station. Actually, I was very glad to see that Joel and Charlie are alive.
Why?
I had to go to PetSmart to pick up some food for the dogs, and I was actually out at 11:01, and well, I caught some of the end of you guys, and then there was Joel and Charlie, and they're both alive.
Why would they not be alive?
Because I have not heard them since the we changed everything. I'm never out that time of day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and I also saw a woman get kicked out of PetSmart.
For what?
Not having a mask on.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, she walked in, and she looked like Magda from Something About Mary. Mm. Like one of those that you know damn well. I mean, a mask would have helped her quite a bit. But she just kind of goes in there.
Rarely do people accept and realize that. It's smart when they do, but it seems like they usually don't.
But she also looks like the kind of person who would bitch about having to wear a mask.
Yeah.
But I saw her walk in, and then you know, I have mine on, of course. I go in the store, and then she just like storms out, and they're all like looking at her like, hey, we're not going to serve you if you come in here without a mask. I mean, signs are everywhere. I get it if you forgot. But if you're just hoping that they're going to ignore it for you, sorry.
Sorry.
713 said, listen to Friday's show over the weekend on podcast. Happy Hour Friday is the best thing ever. Please keep it going.
It's funny. I got some differing results. Some people thought that Friday's show was just a repeat. It was actually, they said that all last week the shows weren't good. Friday's show last week was just a repeat of the week before's Friday show.
Who said that?
Someone on Twitter.com. They said that my Baytown Badass impersonation was getting old and tired. And that, what was the other thing they didn't like?
Just one person or a bunch of people?
Just one person.
Oh, well, bleep him or her.
But he says he listens all the time, and it's just we had a bad week of shows. Oh, we spent too much time talking about the kid diddler.
Wah.
About Patrick D. Statutory. Patrick does statutory.
Okay.
So
maybe you should hire him as program director to replace you.
Maybe so.
So he can tell us how to do the show.
Maybe so. Well, I said, listen, everybody's got different feels about what's a good show. I go on what I feel works for us, and I'm doing shows that I think are entertaining. That's all I can do.
I will be the first one to tell you when we have a bad show. But if I'm having fun and you're having fun and Aaron's having fun and the listeners seem to be having fun, well, you know, okay, that's all I'm really here for. But that's just me. The show sucks until AJ does the mouse voice again. See, the guy probably would not like the mouse voice.
Yeah. I miss that mouse. I actually forgot his name.
God, what was that mouse? The listeners will remember.
Yeah, I think that mouse died, actually. The paper mache mouse that was part of the family. That's still one of the craziest stories ever.
Yeah, Space Ghost says, maybe that guy was a diddler and doesn't like diddler talk. Don't go there.
Let's not put that on him.
No, just didn't like the show. So, got bad news for you. Won't like Friday's show then.
We're having good times.
Yeah. Yeah. And not going to apologize for that. Timmy the mouse.
That's right.
Told you the listeners would know. It's amazing the things you guys remember. And it's great because if I can't remember something, I'll just say, hey, what was the name of the mouse? Boom, somebody's got it right there. They always do.
And there will be more sports this week than last week. And I said, one of the things that I said, and by the way, the Raptors win by 24 points. So they were unable to go on a 26-0 run when they needed to, down 25.
They got it down to 8. Admire them for that.
They cut the lead by 1 by the time it was all said and done. One of the complaints was we just didn't talk enough sports. And I said, listen, and I know I know right now in this city the last few years, Texans are always number one with fans.
Right.
Like, that's the biggest deal. The Astros have been the second biggest deal. More so than the Rockets. I know Rockets fan hates hearing that. That's just the reality of it. To me, and you tell me if you feel... Actually, you both tell me if you feel the same way. Aaron, I want your take on this too. I haven't felt the need to talk much about the Astros regular season games, even though there's more or there's less of them, so they're each more important. But when eight teams from each league make the playoffs, it almost feels like regular season baseball is completely meaningless. Does it not?
Well, let me spin this a different way.
Please.
How often do we break down every game in the regular season of the Astros, even in a good year?
We don't. Like, and when there's runs, we'll talk about the runs, whether things are going well, trends, or things are going poorly. Yes. But no, we don't talk. We don't break down game to game to game to game. That's just not what we do.
And, you know, there are shows that do that. Frankly, it's, you know, if there's something interesting that happens, like Altuve asking to be moved down to seventh, then, yeah, you talk about that. But I also do not sense the same interest in this team this year. And it's not just, I mean, it's a lot of other things. I look at page views and things like that, and what pops on SportsMap, because some of that is a really good guide for what we do. And, you know, and I can tell you, you start talking Rockets for the most part, radios turn off around the city.
Yeah.
They go over and listen to Arkansas Milk. And, yeah, so that doesn't mean we're not going to talk about them. But, I mean, how much do you break down, oh, Russell Westbrook's not going to play game one? Well, Eric Gordon has to step up. Okay. I mean, how much in-depth breakdown do you want there? And I just think, yeah, now that we've got all the sports going, it's great. Love watching them. Love talking about certain things that happen. But that's never going to be what we do more of. It's just, It just never has been. And, yeah, the football season's different. And I think we have a pretty good gauge on what our audience wants. And it's fun and frivolity. It's gambling talk. It's us making fun of me mostly. And then a lot of football, college football, pro football. And then hit on the other things when it happens. And I feel like we have a pretty good idea when to do that. But
and they like to see Jason Braddock do shots.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I have fun with Talk Sports Guy, but yeah, and that wasn't quite what he was doing. But yeah, even now, like I watched a couple innings of Astros yesterday. That's about all I can take. Because it's slow and it's boring. I'm sorry. That's baseball. Playoffs, different animal. Slower, more boring, but fun. I'll watch them. But I've got playoff hockey and now playoff basketball. These are meaningful games. I'm just more interested in that right now. But, you know, I don't know. I know there are some people that they love everything about the Astros. Well, we're probably not the show for you. I mean, that's what Charlie's here for. Charlie will break down every pitch of every game. And
Charlie also made a spectacular play in left center at his advanced age softball thing this weekend. Yeah. Maybe you should get out there and make a play.
I need to find something to do, but right now in the
go out there and drop bombs on Charlie.
I can still swing the bat a little bit.
Get it, girl.
But no, I don't know, man. I don't know. I need to do something. Because I don't know when they're going to start doing these races again. I mean, I don't know when I'm going to be able to run again because there's so many people in those things.
You can have a virtual race.
I can. I've actually done a couple of those. It's no fun.
No, of course it's not.
Because you know what? It's there's not a – I know this sounds stupid, but when you're out there and there's other people around you, you tend to be motivated to finish the race.
Right.
When – if I get out and it's 100 degrees and I'm supposed to do 10K and I get 6 and I'm like, dude, it's too hot. Nah.
Yeah.
The hell with it.
Hey, Lamont asked a good question, and I don't know the answer to this. Aaron, you might want to pop out there and ask Tyler this question. Who did we credential for NRG? Like, who do we credential to go cover these practices? And I know the practices are like it's Zoom practice. It's the stupidest thing ever. But I don't know if anyone was out there this weekend. I certainly wasn't. I'm guessing if anyone was, it's one of the late hits guys.
I don't know. Tyler would know, right? Tyler's the one who.
Yeah, he.
It was
nobody.
He's left for the day.
Oh, he's gone for the day. Okay.
It might be Jake.
Oh, I'm sure he was out there.
Yeah. Because it would have been Cody Stutes back in the day.
Oh, Tyler texted. No Texans credentials yet.
Oh. I don't like our chances of getting one then.
I think the way Jason was talking about it is that they were only giving them to people in Tier 1.
Oh, none of us are Tier 1.
For the first weekend, no. if I understood him right. And basically, all of 6'10 was in Tier 1, and McLean, and the new guy from...
well, and Pat D. Stat.
But yeah, that guy too.
He's probably still credentialed, honestly.
I see one of the guys from Texans Wire got his job. I don't know the guy, but he tweeted it out, and somebody commented, probably do be better than the last guy.
Yep.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. What does this riff sound exactly like? Play the beginning of this again. It sounds like something very familiar.
Last night, she said.
Oh, you know what that is? That's almost the exact beat to I Want You to Want Me by Cheap Trick. That's why. Okay. You can stop it now. It may go away.
By the way, John Jones just tweeted 13 minutes ago, just had a really positive conversation with the UFC. Sounds like there will be negotiations for my next fight at heavyweight. All good news. The weight gaining process begins. God.
I told you.
He's such a pain in the ass. He's such a pain in the ass. Good for him, though, if they're going to give him the money.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see him fight.
He's turned into a drama queen, though. Let's be honest.
Have we done a gym of the day?
No. I have like five of them, but if you've got one you like.
No, I was just thinking we better do it because we got Eric coming up
okay,
next.
Okay, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Are you guys familiar with WWE star Sonya Deville?
No.
Me either.
Negative.
I don't even think she's on the video game, to be honest.
Well, apparently she's got a stalker. And in this case,
of course,
a fan was so obsessed with her, he broke into her house while she slept with the intent to kidnap her.
That's hot.
Philip Thomas, 24, allegedly spent 8 months planning his kidnap attempt. He traveled from South Carolina to her home in Florida, of course. So he counts as a Florida man. With the intent of taking her hostage. And the homeowner was targeted for a 2:45 a.m. break-in. And Deville and a guest were alerted. She was entertaining at 2:45 a.m.
Oh.
When the security alarm went off, the suspect broke in through a sliding back door.
He probably was really upset about that. But find her. Entertaining.
Here's where it gets creepier. Before getting inside the house, the suspect allegedly cut a hole in a patio screen and waited there for about 4 hours. What do you think he was doing with that hole? He was still at the house when officers arrived and had a knife, plastic zip ties, duct tape, and mace.
Not wise, guys.
He's been charged with aggravated stalking, armed burglary of a dwelling, attempted armed kidnapping, and criminal mischief.
It's a good one. Yeah. I'm looking at pictures of Sonya Deville, and I mean, for a wrestling chick, I don't know what wrestling chicks these days look like.
I think they're all hot.
You would think. She's like a wrestling chick 7, I would say.
Hmm.
Like, he could do better. She's not ugly by any means, but she's not.
I don't know. I like her. She's kind of my flavor.
She's your thing? All right. Well, I stand corrected.
Somebody tells me she plays for the other team.
Oh.
So
this guy maybe thought he was getting a twofer?
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that the worst when you basically commit your life to, you know, forcing a relationship with someone and they're not into dudes. Like, it's happened to me so many times. It's really embarrassing.
That's from, that was Jermaine that tells me that.
Oh, okay. And Jermaine knows a lot about wrestling.
He does. He does.
I know a lot about the wrestling video game, but not that much about real wrestling.
Hmm. Pepper, anyway, that was your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
Pepper says, are you guys taking suggestions for your nasty shots for this Friday? If so, I suggest snowshoe grog. You'll love it. I don't.
A, I'm sure I wouldn't like anything called grog.
Right. And B, we already have a...
We've got a gross booze picked out for the day.
A Danish shot.
We got to remember to ask Lance next Monday to have Ryan LaShane in the next Friday to come and make that whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Canadian shot.
Yeah, you should just send him an email and ask him if he'll do that. Bring some food too. That'd be cool. I'm maybe the guy from Danish Inspirations could do the shot with us. Is he still on Glenn's show?
I don't think
show?
So. I'm not, that's not too bad. Sure, not. But I don't think
that's
so.
That's too bad. Because...
Goal!
Oh, man. So, Space Ghost says she has a huge nose. Let's not...
Come on, Space Ghost.
I respect the beak because I have a beak. And, you know, I think that's a little hot on a woman. So, some only 17th century sailors like grog. Well, yeah, that whatever that crap was we had was from the 20s last week. It was a big deal then.
John Granato, I was on with him this morning. I'm doing double duty today because I'm a team player. John Granato said he lived in Chicago until he was in his mid-20s, and he's never heard of Malort.
My grandparents were there until the 80s, and they said they've never heard of it.
And I mean, everybody else says Malort is... Everybody knows about Malort in Chicago. Turns out not everybody does. And John's dad owned a liquor store, so John stocked shelves, and he didn't know what Malort was.
Hmm.
The one thing I read about it over the weekend was that it's something that had a resurgence because hipsters like to make their friends drink it. Just to watch their reaction.
Anyone, like, that's the best idea, is to start a booze that's only good for pranks.
Yeah.
Like, it to be the worst, and it's like, okay, if you drink this, you know, or if this, let's have a bet, loser drinks this, you're still selling your booze. I mean, pretty decent business plan.
Yeah, I guess. I don't like the idea of let's intentionally make bad booze. That's just me. Although, no, I'm not going to say that. I was just about to dog out a whole bunch of people, and I don't want to do that. But, I mean, maybe there is a business model to that. Maybe we should come up with that. Create the most vile thing we can and make people buy it to dare their friends. Although I think they've already beat us with that tobacco crap.
Yeah.
All right, quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.